In a time when having the best operating system is on everyone's mind, hardware manufacturers are slow to keep up because, quote, their special sauce has to be better than everyone else's, end quote. HTC, Samsung, and LG all proudly present Pissing Off the World, One User at a Time. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Piper the DJ, and as always, I am here with another round of trending mobile technology. This is episode 55, and biting into his overnight time. I have on the horn with me, all the way from blogtalkradio.com/eatmygoal, the man, the myth, the legend, Only One Mart. Welcome to the show, sir, and how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good, Piper, to be honest. Thanks for having me. I've had a nap, pre-show nap, and a glass of wine, so I'm all set to go.
That's good. I tell you what, the time difference between here and there is always difficult for me, but I always enjoy getting the folks I know from overseas on, just for the simple fact I love the perspective. Now, Mart, you and I did a little bit of talking in the pre-show, and I actually just recently discovered that you work in the British court system, which is the magistrate courts and tribunals, or something of that nature. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so you are involved in the technical world, and you know a little bit of what's going on in and out. You know, it's not like you would be classified as a computer illiterate individual. Would that be correct?
Definitely not illiterate in the computer world.
And that's really good, because I mean, with the way things are going nowadays, not necessarily a firm understanding, but a general understanding of what's going on in the computer industry around us, that's just so mandatory nowadays. And it just, you know, even my grandfather is, you know, he's been retired for 15 years, but he's getting more and more involved in the computer spaces than a lot of people would understand. So that brings me around to my next thing. I'm always interested to know, as a student, I carry certain items with me to and from work every day, to and from school every day, things of that nature. And I'm over here in the United States. I've talked to plenty of people about what they carry. Mart, in the UK, when you get ready to leave for work every day to go to work for the magistrate courts, what do you pick up and throw in your bag? What's in your bag every day?
Every day, my Galaxy S2, the charger, only recently the charger because the battery's getting worse. The last few weeks, and my Nexus 7 occasionally comes with me.
Now, you mentioned an S2 and a Nexus 7. I presume that your Nexus 7, because I've got a Nexus 7, I'm presuming you're on 4.3, is that correct?
Indeed I am, yeah.
And how are you liking that update from whether it be 4.1 or the 4.2 update with the Nexus 7?
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty good. It seems a little bit quicker. Other than that, I haven't really noted much. I probably don't use it to its full potential.
There are lots of Nexus users who are citing that once they got the 4.3 update, they've noticed a lot of differences and a lot of changes. So, you know, and whichever way that you use it, you know, the fact is, Project Nexus right now is ahead of the game on just about everything. They're running 4.3, whereas HTC is just now starting to release the 4.3 update for some of their handsets. LG has yet to come on the books and announce anything. Samsung has actually gone on the books citing, quote, TouchWiz is undergoing a huge update. And as far as that goes, I just look at it from the perspective that TouchWiz, I don't even use TouchWiz. I haven't used TouchWiz in years. I use Nova Launcher because I prefer the vanilla experience myself. Having a Nexus 7 now myself, I'm really enjoying the vanilla experience overall. And that's a totally a different topic that we'll get to here in a little bit. But you said you carry your Galaxy S2, you carry your chargers and your Nexus 7. What else do you carry with you, sir?
I don't use my work laptop at home these days. I don't need it anymore. So IT wise or tech wise, that's all that I take with me. I pretty much live off my S2, and it was a bit of a shock when I got the Nexus. Obviously, I got some advice from your good self before I bought the Nexus. But everything I do in my personal tech life is off my S2, even when I've got my Nexus.
Now the S2 being a smart device the way it is, I presume when you say you do everything off of your S2, you're referring to email, text messages, various mobile apps that you might have to deal with, etc., and things of that nature. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, there's something that came in, I want to say middle of last week, where the British carrier EE has updated a new mobile app. Is that something that affects you, or are you on one of the Orange folk?
Yeah, no, I'm an O2 customer, but O2. I have got a similar app for O2.
Now, over here in the U.S., we don't necessarily have proprietary apps that go toward an airtime provider. So, if you could, what does that O2 app, what does it help you accomplish? What does it do for you?
Well, I mean, the main reason I log into it is to check on my data usage, mainly because I use my phone a lot on the train because I commute to and from work. So towards the end of the month, I normally check my data out on it. I don't worry about text messages or minutes because they're unlimited. It's just checking on my data, really. And if my data's getting low and halfway through the month, I can just top up from there. So, you know, it costs you, but you can do it all through the app.
Nice. Now, over here in the States, on a lot of our postpaid plans, you actually have to go in and give the carrier some notice. Hey, I'm going to be using more data this month. Go ahead and up my package, something of that nature. When you said that you have to adjust your data, does that happen like same day? I mean, say your instant plan is at 3 gigs and you're at 2.5 on like Thursday and you've got 2 weeks left. I mean, is that something that would take effect same day?
Yeah, instantly.
Wow.
It's instant. You just buy like 500. I think 500 is the minimum. I have to log into it in a minute, but there is a minimum. I think it costs you about £3 to £5, so probably about $7 to $10 to get like the smallest amount of data upgraded.
Wow. Now, you said that you're on O2. Is that a prepaid solution for you, or is that a postpaid solution for you? Is there a contract associated with it?
Yeah, it was a 24-month contract.
24-month contract. Okay, and you also mentioned in the pre-show that you're on an S2 that's going to be expiring in about 2 months. Is that correct as well?
Yeah, December. Get myself a new phone for Christmas.
Well, how about I go ahead and jump on this soapbox and let you know what's out there, since the holidays might be very good for you. And I don't know if it's the same way over there, but over here around Christmas, all the airtime providers mark everything way low so they can sell it. Would you like to take a minute for me to go over some of the new devices?
Let's go with it.
All right. Of course, I'm sure you're well aware there's the new Samsung Galaxy Note 3, which overall some people are saying is a good phone. It's a step up from the Note 2. It is a better processor, better RAM. You got 3 gigs of RAM with that. The caveat that I'm having with Samsung, though, is all the bloatware. I'm sure you're well aware I've been on a Note 2 for a good amount of time now. I got one earlier this year. I was rooted and ROMed within the same day that it came in. And the problem that I'm finding with the Note 3, yes, it's compatible with Galaxy Gear. Yes, you have the split screen and the multi-window and all the extra enhancements that go along. But with those enhancements, you also have the bloatware. So if you're interested in the Note 3, I would say go for it because it is a great device. Some people are saying that that fake leather, the new back that they have on it, isn't necessarily the best thing on the face of the earth. Some people are kind of, you know, it doesn't feel right. Some people say it feels okay. You know, overall, on a scale of 10, I'm getting a general consensus nationwide, actually globally, 7 out of 10 for the Samsung Note 3, all right? Obviously, okay. There's the Galaxy S4, which on the consumer level ranks up right there with the Galaxy Note 3. Now, granted, it hasn't received the 4.3 update yet. Samsung has started to leak out about a 4.3 update. But, you know, once that does get the 4.3, that will also will be compatible with Galaxy Gear, which is the watch solution that Samsung's announced. Once again, though, you're going to be facing bloatware. Overall performance, feel, and design, average consumers are rating the Samsung Galaxy S4 a 7.5 out of 10. It gets better battery life, processor, lag, things like that, going very well. People are appreciating that, as well as the price tag. The Galaxy S4 is cheaper than the Galaxy Note 3 at this point in time. There's also the LG G2, which is the new flagship device that's been put out by LG. As far as hardware specs go, this is a beast of a device. If this device were strictly based on specs, it would be an awesome thing. And when this first hit the market, I was like, I gotta see what it is. So I went out to one of the local stores here, and I checked it out and got my hands on it, and I played around with it a little bit, all the way up until they told me you either need to buy it or you need to leave. which, you know, it's there, right? Because if you're just in window shopping, you're like, okay, so let's see what everybody's talking about with this device. You know, and they're just like, well, sir, you either need to buy it or you need to. I was like, okay, bye. You know, so off I went about. Anyhow, the LG G2, great processor, great RAM, great hardware. The problem with LG is the bloatware. And I keep saying this over and over and over again, and I sound like a broken record, and I'm sorry if I do, Mart, but the bloatware for LG is where this drops. If you take the time and you actually get into the LG G2 and you start from scratch, you spend about the first 30 minutes of your experience with the device going through tutorials. Now, I don't mind tutorials if it's something that I don't know anything about, all right? Like, there, you know, there's tutorials for everything out there. But in a situation like this, I feel like my intelligence is being insulted here. And I don't claim to be smarter than anybody else, okay? I'm in college. I don't have a degree. I'm undereducated by many stretches of the imagination here. But when it comes to the LG G2, I felt like this device was trying to convince me that I'm not smart enough for it. Okay? I mean, I don't mind having, you know, like with a, you said you have a Galaxy S2. Like, I don't mind having the little pop-up saying, hey, if you're interested to know, this is how you do this, or this is how you do that, or something of that nature. I don't mind little things, you know, but when you have a tutorial that goes one screen, and then another screen, and then another screen, and then another screen, and then another screen, and another screen, and by the time you get to the third screen, you're going, shut up! You know, where's the skip? Where's the skip button? And there isn't one, okay? So as far as the user interface goes with the LG G2, that is definitively a no, as far as I'm concerned. For hardware specs, if you're one of those who's into rooting and ROMing, and right now the developer community hasn't really gotten too far on that yet, but if you're into rooting and ROMing, the LG G2 would definitely be something for you if you could get one slimmed down. But if you're just going to use it out of the box, I would not advise it. Getting below 5 stars on this one, on the LG G2, nationally. Now, the device that is definitely on my radar, and that's something that's going to be coming up later this month, actually. And I actually put this device on my radar after experiencing the Nexus 7. As most people know, earlier this year, actually 2 months ago, I purchased a second generation Nexus 7. It is not rooted. It is not robbed. I'm running stock on it. And I tell you what, I love it. I do. Yeah, that non-bloated, pure experience. And Mart, you being on the first generation Nexus 7, I'm sure you're fully aware what I'm talking about when I say not bloated. It just works, and it does what it's supposed to. I don't have to worry about pop-ups, tutorials. It doesn't insult my intelligence. I can use it and use it the way that I want to. So with that being said, it hasn't been announced yet, so I don't know the legitimacy of this. However, the Nexus 5 is due to be announced later this month, and it's looking to be a great phone. I don't have all the ins and outs and what it's all going to cover. I mean, there's words saying that it's going to have KitKat on it. There's also words saying that it's not going to have KitKat. I don't know. But the bottom line is the Nexus project is definitively something that looks interesting to me for the simple fact that it doesn't have all the bloatware on it that other carriers have gotten so interested in having, okay? Now, based on that, these are just the ones that are the top devices right now. There's more that's scheduled to come out. Samsung has a couple middle-end devices. The Nexus 4 is not around anymore. That's been sold out. Based on those devices, Mart, and if you want to get into your desired root and ROM, that's totally up to you. But out of those devices, which sounds interesting to you at this point?
Well, I mean, I've had a Samsung, and I must admit, some of the bloatware's got on my nerves, but not too much of it. But I think they've got worse over the last couple of years, bloatware. So I'll probably avoid a Samsung. What really catches my eye is the Nexus, just going for the pure Google Android experience, having had a Nexus 7. The LG, you sent a link through in the show notes, because UK Operator 3, which has no data restrictions at all, is going to be stocking that phone at a price that I currently pay for my monthly contract. So if it wasn't for the spending half an hour to teach me to suck eggs, I'd probably go that way because of the spec of the phone. But yeah, I might hang on for a Nexus 5.
Overall, the specs for the LG G2, I mean, it looks and it acts like a beast. I mean, it is definitely a top of the line hardware speaking. But once again, you've got to contend with that bloatware, okay? I've been rooting and ROMming my devices for longer than I care to admit to anybody. And it's one of those things where, you know, I don't necessarily want to say that I just want it to work because that's an Apple cliche thing. But at the same time, I want to be able to enjoy my device the way that it's supposed to be enjoyed. And being exposed to the Project Nexus the way that I have, it's just, I'm like, wow! I mean, I've seen all the specs on Nexus. I've followed the story on Nexus. I've never owned a Nexus all the way up until this year. And once I got into it, I was like, I don't want to root this. I don't want to ROM this. It's fine the way it is. It's a pure experience. It's got 4.3. It had 4.3 on it out of the box. I didn't have to update it. I don't have to worry about, you know, when 4.4 actually gets released, I don't have to worry about waiting for Samsung to put their sauce on it. I don't have to wait for anybody else. It's going to be there, and it's going to be the next best operating system. And that's the biggest thing that's got me going for Nexus. I've been saying it for weeks, and damn me for saying it again. Bloatware is really starting to get on my nerves. Last week I had Mr. Old School and Gallifrey on. They're talking about how, you know, well, they just want to put their special sauce on it. And a lot of times I don't catch everything that gets said the first time. So I've got to listen to it a couple extra times to get used to it. Yes, I listen to my own show. That's just the way it works out in this industry. Something that Gallifrey said, though, in response to Old School, he's like, well, if they don't put their special sauce on it, what are you buying? And Gallifrey responded, well, then you just have to base it off the specs. Well, yeah, of course. When I buy a device, I don't buy it for the bloatware. I buy it for the specs. I buy it because I want it to be able to do what I want it to do. Mart, when you go out to buy an electronic device, whether it be a phone, a laptop, anything, you know, you and I spoke when you went to buy your Nexus. Mm-hmm. When you go out to buy something, what influences you in making that purchase?
Yeah, the specs. I couldn't care who it's made by, what it's got on it. It's what it can do for me more than anything.
Now, being in working in close to the IT in the court systems over there, I'm sure you folks just don't have open networks. There's certain certificates you have to install and certain pathways and security procedures you have to take. Now, I know you guys have closed circuit television everywhere you turn, you know, because it, well, whether it be for safety or just you want to see what's going on around you, you know, but you just can't walk in with any type of device and log onto the network to do what you need to do. So, you know, you said that you're not interested in the bloatware or who it's made by. What do you need at work to get a device to work with it? You know, you mentioned you don't necessarily have a laptop. You do a lot of stuff through your S2. Do you folks participate in the Bring Your Own Device program, or is that something that's not a big push over there?
It is starting to go that way. The digitalization of the courts as a whole in the UK is heading that way towards bring your own device to work. Mm. But I think the way that the IT government projects work in the UK, it will be a few years.
Really?
We're still on XT. XP at work.
Right. Now, you mentioned you do a lot through your S2. Do you get, like, work correspondence through your S2 as well?
No.
No. Huh. So, I mean, are you not able to receive... do you have remote login for email, then? Can you do it from your laptop or your Nexus?
I can get remote email if needed, but because I've got a work laptop at home, I don't really need one.
Right. That's interesting because a lot of times, like if you're doing remote email or something like that over here, they recommend, well, they don't recommend, they mandate a particular type of device. I worked in a situation before where I was on call. I was given a company cell phone, and the only way that I could get push email was if I had an iPhone. I was like, well, I don't have an iPhone. Sorry. I have an HTC phone that I have Android on it. This was before Android was really big, but I was always trying to get around it and dealing with IT and stuff like that. Do you think that as things progress, you know, you mentioned BYOD might not be a big thing for another couple of years over there. What if they were to come flip the script on you and say, Mart, instead of opening the network up to everybody and giving you remote access, we're issuing phones. Now, granted, you're going to be responsible for taking care of the plan and everything like that, but this is your new electronic leash, and they put a iPhone 5S on your desk. What would you say?
I'd have to work it and want to. I can't stand Apple products.
Right.
It's not that I've not owned one. I've not had an iPhone, but I've had iPod touches. The fact that they're out of date after about 12 months and you can't use any of your apps and anything unless you upgrade or get a new phone or get the latest iPod touch and run iTunes on your PC, which takes up crazy amounts of room. Huh. I just can't stand Apple products.
And there's a lot of people that are saying that, especially with the new iOS 7, which, by the way, is going to be up to iOS 7.0.3 here very soon. The third update in a very short amount of time. This breaks a record for Apple because it'll be the third update in less than a month. Many technologists have gone on the record citing that, you know, Apple has taken so many days to put out an update in the past. Many consumers being very vocal about their dislike for iOS 7, whether it be anywhere from the color palette to being seasick with some of the extra transitions and the motions that are involved in the iOS, all the way up to still having problems with the mapping app. I believe there was a movie article that I ran across. I didn't put it in the show notes, unfortunately. iOS 7 is taking users across airports and interstates. I mean, you know, I mean, really? It's a type of thing where you look at it and you really got to ask yourself, did they learn from their last mistake? I can't help it. Last week, I had my opening monologue was Apple wound up in the wrong place because they're going to someplace else. And it really makes me ask, what are people thinking? So you mentioned at one point in time you were an iOS user. You had an iPhone, and now you're solidly Android. You have a Galaxy S2. You have a Nexus 7.
Mm-hmm.
What made you move from iOS to Android? Why not go to Windows or BlackBerry?
No, a couple of years ago, my last phone was a BlackBerry, and it had a very unfortunate accident with a wall in my front room one evening, which is why I moved to Android. That's another software like iTunes that I hate. Is the BlackBerry PC software that you have to plug your phone into to do the updates.
Uh-huh.
It's slow, cumbersome. It's just horrible, horrible piece of software. But yeah, the BlackBerry died a very painful death.
Now, when you say died a painful death, is that elusive talk for you lost your temper and chucked it?
Well, it wouldn't let me answer any calls on the way home.
Mm.
So I phoned the company I was with at the time, and they said, you need to plug it into the software to back up and reset. So this took two or 3 hours. I sat there doing this backup. And then as soon as the backup was done, I turned it back on, and it said, fatal software error.
So, it ended up invisible. Oh, that would be painful.
Yeah,
that would be painful.
Three hours later, it was in bits.
Not bytes, bits. And you're talking to a guy that preaches device safety, okay? When I got my Note 2, it went in an OtterBox. Same thing with my S2 before that. People bring up to me all the time, oh, I got a cracked screen, what do I do? Well, what case did you have it in? I had somebody shot me a text message the other day. I'm sorry, you can't text me because I dropped my phone and it shattered. The screen shattered. And I'm like, back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so you bought a new iPhone 5, and now it's got a broken screen. You spent over $500 on a phone and didn't put it in a case. Now, I'm not one to judge. I'm really not. I don't like being the I told you so. I don't like being spiteful. It's really not in my character to look at people and say, duh. But sometimes, every once in a while, you get a little snarky and you just kind of sit back there and read and you're just like, duh.
Yeah.
So
my S2 is so well looked after that it's still got the original screen protector on it that the guy put on it in the shop when I bought it.
Wow.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
Now, my S2 was the same way. When I bought it, it went into an OtterBox, and when I took it out, it was still in mint condition. And it was really good. I mean, people don't really realize that these devices, if you take care of them, they will serve you a long time. Now, granted, you'll have to do maintenance. Like you mentioned, your battery life isn't very good. The battery life in my S2 towards the end of its life wasn't very good. Okay. I wound up using it more for, for like recording podcasts and stuff like that, because you can set it up with an audio in and stuff like that. And it's a very good device, don't get me wrong. It does what it's supposed to do. But sometimes the you know, like the battery, it starts to run down a little bit quicker than that. And one thing that I'll say about the Galaxy Note 2 and the Note 3 coming after is the battery life is definitely astounding. Being able to carry my Note 2 around and go take it off the charger at 5 o'clock in the morning and not have to worry about putting it back on the charger until 11 o'clock at night is beautiful. And I listen to podcasts all day long. I'm a big audio streamer. Different things like that. And I tell you what, it's just great. But, you know, the transition from BlackBerry to iOS and then from iOS to Android, is there any enticement or any influence, I guess, to perhaps get you to go to Microsoft Windows Mobile?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
There's one of my friends about a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, said to me, get a Windows phone. And out of the group of friends, this is a completely British phrase, but he was known as the Windows wanker. Because he was the only one of us that had dared to venture into a Windows phone. But his foray into the Microsoft phone market only lasted about 8 months, and he ended up getting an Android device. Wow. And he's now got a Nexus 4.
Now he's got a Nexus 4. I see. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those things where he found what works for him. He tried to get into the Windows Mobile space, and it didn't work out for him, and now he's in the Android space. So you folks over there, definitely you know your way around the mobile space. You know, you said you started in iOS, your BlackBerry, you went to iOS, now you're in Android. No desire to go to mobile window or Windows Mobile, sorry. So, you know what works for you. Do businesses, you know, or companies, or I guess employers in a situation like this, the magistrate, do they dictate sometimes, you know, well, if you want to utilize this service at work, you have to have this platform? You know, we discussed earlier about how your boss coming up to you saying, hey, you know, you've got to pay for the data, but here's your new iPhone. You know, do you see that as a viable scenario for you? Or would they be type of thing where, okay, you know, you're on an Android device. Okay, so as long as you install this certificate and that certificate, you'll be able to utilize your services here. Or would it be a situation where they just might turn around and bring you a device saying, this is your work phone?
Yeah, well, they use BlackBerries at work, and it's either you have a BlackBerry or you have a work laptop. And because of the type of work I do, I can't work off a BlackBerry. Thank God. So there is already the choice of having a BlackBerry or a laptop.
Now, are they on the BlackBerry 10 or are they on older version of BlackBerry?
Older version. Yeah, everything government-wise, IT is so behind.
Well, it's behind, but it's also secure and it works. So that's something else you got to remember. I mean, it does work and it does what it's supposed to do. So, you know, the caveat, you know, older technology, but it is what it is. It does what it's supposed to do. And, you know, that's just one of those things. You know, what are you going to do? Six one way, half dozen another. You know, do you, with the problems that BlackBerry's running into, you know, the wanting to go private again, wanting to, you know, they're in talks of selling to an equity firm. Do you see the magistrates going to a different operating system, or are they going to stick with BlackBerry even through the transition?
I think they'll stick at least for the next couple of years, because there's massive government IT contracts and they're all renegotiated every few years, and I think the current one has got a couple of years left to run on it, so they won't do anything for at least that 2 year period.
Okay, now as they're on BlackBerry, is there a way perhaps to incorporate the Android space? I mean, you mentioned that you're on Android, you want to stay on Android, you utilize your Nexus, you know, you're due to upgrade your device here in the near future. Do you think that they would incorporate Android syncability, or you think it would be the type of thing where they'd be primarily determined to stay with Active Sync and utilize the iOS space?
Yeah, the way that it's going at the moment, I think they'd look at both. If it's going to go down the bring your own device to work route, which it probably will, they'll have to look at incorporating platforms, because you can't mandate that everybody uses an Apple device at home. You can't mandate that everybody uses an Android device at home. If you're going to allow people to bring a device to work, you've got to be able to use both platforms.
Right.
I say both, but, you know, there may be BlackBerry still hanging around if they don't die a death. But.
And that definitely makes sense. I mean, that's one of those things where you just got to be like, well, you know, we can do this or we can do that, but, you know, the whole thing boils down to infrastructure, I think. You know, as IT professionals, such as yourself, such as Mr. Old School over here in Canada, such as PK Punk, who's a little bit north of you, you know, as IT professionals, you need to be flexible, especially if they're going to enforce bring your own device. You know, BYOD is just that. Your device. It cuts down on the overhead of the employer and puts responsibility solely on the shoulders of the individual. You know, do you want the Android? Do you want the iOS? Do you want the BlackBerry? And it's up to you. But on the flip side of that, and this is something that they're running into over here in the States, is with bring your own device, they also have to worry about these certificates. Is there security? Are you able to be tapped? Are you able to be infiltrated? Are you able to be, you know, is your connection secure? So with that understanding, do you guys utilize VPNs or portals, or what type of security would a device utilize in your situation?
Well, currently my work laptop has got an RSA token that I have to use. So I've got three logins just to get onto my laptop. So I've got a security token that I have to plug in and log in. I've then got my normal login onto the network. Once I'm on the network, I've then got an RSA token, which randomizes the password every 30 seconds.
Wow.
To get onto the secure network. So that's three times I have to log in before I can start doing any work from home.
Wow. Well, it just makes sure that it's you that does the work. So getting that to incorporate into a mobile space would be a pretty, pretty tough gig. I'm not even quite sure how they would incorporate triple redundancy like that into. I mean, they've got two-factor authentication in the Android space, but getting something like that to, you know, getting three-factor authentication. Man, that's, as you're sitting here talking about it, I'm like, how can you use that in the Android space? And I honestly, without setting up a push certificate or something like that, I'm not even sure that they could do that, that Android would be able to support that. So that's definitely something to look into. I mean, you know, as things go on, you know, like Samsung, they have their S-Knox, and this is, once again, it's going to bring us around into my bloatware rant. But S-Knox, which is in the 4.2 build, it's also in the 4.3 builds, you know, that is something that might be enticing, because Android obviously doesn't support ActiveSync anymore. So they're leaving it open to OEMs developing their own type of security. S-Knox, I've heard lots of good things about S-Knox, don't get me wrong. I don't utilize S-Knox, though, so it is useless to me. It's pointless for me to have. I don't have, you know, I can set up a secure VPN if I need to tunnel through something. I have, you know, like for school, we have Wi-Fi networks. So if I need to get something off the network and the infrastructure there, I have a VPN that I can log into. S-Knox, I have no use for it. You know, a situation like you're in, they might be able to utilize S-Knox and get that to work, that, you know, as a second factor. You've got three factors, so, you know, that might prove to be a little bit sticky. I'm not quite sure how they would fully work that. But, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. I mean, you know, sometimes, and I hate to put the cart before the horse with this, but, you know, as you are getting ready to upgrade your device here in a couple months, Project Nexus is going to be making its release. But it might be conducive for you to look ahead even beyond that and citing, you know, well, bring your own device to work. It's on the rise wherever we go. So with that in mind, would it be beneficial for me to spend the extra money perhaps do with the bloatware and get like a new Samsung Galaxy S4 or a Note 3 because of the added functionality of SNOX? Would that be something you could look at, Mart, or would that not be enough of an enticement?
If I push myself in that direction to think I could use this at work, then I'd probably go Note 3 without thinking about it.
Right.
Just because of, you know, what the Note 2 currently is and does, I think just stepping up to Note 3 would probably allow me to do a lot of my work on that.
Well, the Note 2 is definitely a beast of a device. I've said it time and time again. The Note 2 is definitely, by far, hands, heads, whatever you want to call it, it is a superior device. Definitely worth the money. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things where since I've been fully exposed to Project Nexus, bloatware, special sauce, apps that I'm never going to use, whatever terminology you want to put it in, okay? And a lot of it depends on where you're from. You know, old school calls it sauce. I call it bloatware. You and I have been using the term pretty freely, bloatware. For those who aren't fully aware, bloatware is any application on your device that you as an individual and average consumer will never use. I mean, it's just, it's there, it's taking up space, it's taking up background resources, and you will not use it. That's bloatware. SNOX, I'd never use it. It's pointless to me, okay? That's the VPN portal in the Samsung space. SNote, I thought I was going to be using it more. I don't. I utilize Google Docs more. I'm completely honest. I got my Note 2 with full intent of using this S Pen and these S apps and the Samsung proprietary apps in more of what I do. But you know something? I utilize Google Docs more than anything else. Without Google Docs, I'm lost. Seriously, we're at tonight's show notes are on a Google spreadsheet. When I go to school, what's the first thing I do? I log onto the network and I get into my Google Docs. Why? Because that's where I have all my school notes. I can program it there on my Nexus 7 or my Note 2, go home and pull it up on my laptop, and off I go. You know, so that's definitely something to keep an eye out for as things go forward. There was actually something that lots of leaks coming out for KitKat. I don't know if KitKat is something that's interesting to you over there, Mart, but it's looking like KitKat is not only going to be eye appealing, but it's also going to have history on its side, as well as landscape and portrait, and it's going to be a more cloud immersed experience. You mentioned that you have an S2. You mentioned you have a Nexus 7 that you utilize regularly.
Yeah.
What type of cloud resources do you, as an average user, utilize on a regular basis?
Not a lot. I've used Google Docs occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I use Flixster for my films, so I can stream or download to any device after I've purchased a DVD. So you can then store a digital copy.
Hmm.
And I use Spotify as my music app.
Right.
Which just gives me a massive library of music.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
that I can use at any time, but that's about it, really. Huh. I probably don't utilize as much as I could.
Now, do you utilize Dropbox or anything of that nature for work? A lot of folks in the technology space, they have their Dropbox where they can store encrypted files and things of that nature. Or do you utilize more server direct server for applications and things?
Yeah, it's all direct servers at work.
Wow, that's interesting. I recognize this is internet podcasting, so we can't necessarily get everything out on the table, but it would definitely be something interesting, you know, especially in a closed space like what you do, maybe incorporating cloud service. I mean, I don't know the legal ramifications of all that.
Yeah, there is at work, all our stuff is on a server, but there is some cloud space, but it's all, cut off from the outside world, only government cloud space. But we don't generally use that space in the stuff that I do.
So it's definitely a sandbox operation. The current term is, it's sandbox, where exactly. It is isolated from everything else. It's not an open resource, but there is a definitive block between that resource and everything else. A lot of people are saying that KitKat 4.4, sleek exterior, maximum usability, refined software, crisp, unique unibody frame, something of that nature. There's a complete display, and it's a type of thing where they're really taking this KitKat thing to the next level, if you read some of the breakdowns and you look at some of the promotion videos, you're not sure if they're talking about an operating system or a candy bar. I mean, really.
I love the link that you put on the show notes, because it literally crosses the phone or the operating system with the chocolate bar.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the one that I'm looking at right here. At the top it says KitKat 4.4, the future of confectionery has arrived. So that right there makes me think it's a candy bar. But seeing 4.4 and being who I am, I recognize that is Android. Every corner, every edge, every finger of every bar has been carefully considered and crafted to create this beautifully immersive and multi-sensory experience. Now, I like eating Kit Kat. I do. But after reading that, immersive multi-sensory experience, are we still talking about a candy bar, or are we talking about an Android device?
It just makes me want to wait for a Nexus 5 even more. Even though I'm currently staring at chocolate.
right. And if you scroll down the first block that you're faced with, eye candy. It really does taste as good as it looks. 78 years of precision confectionery engineering has resulted in a chocolate bar of near perfect four-dimensional cemetery diamond sharp bevels machined to salivatingly tight tolerances to help transform the chocolate bar into a long history of chocolate bar of the future. Time out. Weren't we just talking about a phone? Now you're giving us eye candy and you've got this Kit Kat staring us in the face. Mart, help me understand. Are they blurring the lines between food and technology, or is there a fine line there that separates the two that, they're just, this is what we're trying to achieve? I mean, for months, the developer space said the next build, K, is going to be key lime pie. They even had images of a slice of key lime pie with the little antenna on it. Now it's Kit Kat. I mean, literally, Google threw the developers on their ear when they said, oh, by the way, 4.4 is KitKat. Okay, good night, thanks. And off they went. I believe I said that when I had Obi-Wan Jabroni on a couple weeks ago, where, you know, KitKat, it's the next biggest operating system. And if you look at the trend that Google has made here, okay, last year they announced 4.2, which was going to be Jelly Bean, and they released it on the new Nexus 4 when it was released, which, by the way, they announced October of last year. This year, Apple is getting ready to announce their new iPhone series. They're getting ready to promote their new iOS, and they come in and say, oh, by the way, 4.4 is KitKat, and then they start to leak out these little things about how 4.4 is going to be superior, and they start alluding to all these little perks and pluses for the Nexus 5. Mark, do you think that 4.4 KitKat is going to be the superior, as this clip says, confectionery perfectionary that the Android user is looking for?
Just looking at this advert is making me salivate for a chocolate phone.
Now, wait a second. Time out. You better clarify that, because I want to say 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, LG came out with their quote-unquote chocolate. It was basically, it was an oversized MP3 player that had phone capabilities on it. So, you know, if you're wanting a chocolate phone, that's perfectly fine, but it's not going to be Android-based. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. This is just marketing genius. I think Nestle and Google have obviously exchanged serious amounts of money for this. But it's just, no matter what the phone looks like, whatever KitKat does, I think it's just going to be amazing. I think it's going to wipe the floor with iOS 7.03. Just looking at it.
Now,
I think people need to have a look at this advert, because it's brilliant.
Right. It is brilliant. I mean, if you scroll down further, where it talks about, it talks about cloud-based, a taste sensation that'll leave you up in the cloud, which can be interpreted as either, you know, Google services or whatever your cloud resource is, Dropbox, Google Drive, etc. And scroll down a little bit further, it's talking about mobile. Mobile coverage you can take literally anywhere, even to work. You know, we talked about bring your own device. So we scroll down a little bit further where we're talking about mobile coverage. Global coverage you can take literally anywhere, even to work. You know, we talked about bring your own device. We talked about, you know, many people, they travel the world. They just have different SIMs in their suitcase that they pop out, because over here in the States, you know, my cell phone won't work over in the UK unless I swap the SIM. It won't work in New Zealand unless I swap the SIM. You know, you go down a little bit further where it's talking about accessories. KitKat 4.4 is a perfect second screen companion, compatible with all liquid accessories. It talks about being compatible with coffee, compatible with tea, compatible with water. Mart, in what you do, what accessories does this operating system need to be compatible with? Or what would you like it to be compatible with?
Oof. See, I don't know if I want to use... That's the other thing about bring your own device to work. Do I really want to use my own device? It's mine. I want to be able to do what I want with it. I think just by the very nature of my job, I think they might lock it down too much, especially if I want that pure Nexus experience that I've got with my Android. Do I really want IT security playing with my device and locking it down? I don't know. I'd end up with loads of, like, government bloatware on it that I don't really want to use.
That's definitely something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's going to be really difficult for me to do the bring your own device to work thing, although it'll probably go that way, just by the very nature of, like, I like my device, it's my device, and that's how I want to use it. It would be very hard to part with it, to give it to somebody, to put something on it so that I could use it for work.
Yeah, that's definitely something. I mean, you know, last week, Old School made a very good presentation on Microsoft Surface. Do you see, I mean, we talked in the pre-show how the infrastructure where you're at right now is reliable in what it does, but it's not up to date. Do you think instead, you know, with the bring your own device to work movement, instead of them replacing your cell phone, would it be a thing where perhaps they would replace your laptop with a Surface, perhaps?
I'd go with that.
You'd go with that?
I hate my laptop.
They're big, they're bulky, they're clunky, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a Surface fan, and I haven't been a Surface fan, but I'll tell you, in the university space, I've been exposed to Surface, and with the pros that Mr. Old School made last week, you know, they're bringing dockability, they're bringing the full operating system. I mean, he made an excellent argument in favor of Surface. Now, granted, with my Nexus and my MacBook Air and my MHL export on my Note 2 and my Slimline export with my Nexus, you know, going to a Surface wouldn't necessarily work in my favor. But if you were to put a docking station in front of me to where all I had to do was slap my Surface into it and boom, it went up into 224-inch digital displays. That is definitely something that works in its favor. Like right now on my Nexus, if I want to dock it, I've got to plug in my Slimline port and it goes up to one screen. If I want to dock my Note 2, I plug in my MHL export and it goes up to another screen. But here, we're talking one device to operate two screens. It's a 10.4-inch device, and getting that to go up into a dual-screen display. Is that something that might work and interest you in your field, Mart?
Definitely. I could always do with more screen space and multi-screens because of the different applications I have to use at work. And rather than flicking between screens all the time, it'd be so much easier to have dual screen.
So, you know, and you guys are, you're currently in the Microsoft space at work as it stands. You utilize Microsoft over like Unix or Linux or something of that nature, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and now granted, Android is becoming more server friendly, okay? But, I mean, as far as the accessories go, to my knowledge, Android still hasn't reached the dual screen yet. You can do export to a single screen, but I don't think you can utilize a dual screen. Like, I utilize a Slimline port for my Nexus. I utilize MHL export for my Note 2. And I can throw those up to a 1080p on a single screen. I can't get it to run on a dual screen yet. So I think that's where Android is a little lacking, but where they're lacking, Surface, I believe, is picking up. If we scroll a little bit further down the 4.4 display, it says, why you'll love KitKat 4.4. Under the sleek exterior, we've ensured maximum breakability in KitKat 4.4. This is due to refined Praline software, crisp waferware, and unique chocolate unibody. Just unwrap, break, snap, and enjoy. Now, in this, we've talked about software. We've talked about food. We've talked about software. We've talked about food. Now we're back to food again. And this is where they get, and they're actually breaking out the Kit Kat. And it's looking like it is a candy bar commercial. But if you scroll down some more where it talks about the tech specs, the dimensions, an extremely unequivocal 10 millimeters thick, 1 finger long, and 4 fingers wide. Now, wait a second. We have just blurred the lines between technology and food completely.
Yeah.
Mart, with this dissection of Kit Kat that we have just undergone and the device breakdowns that we discussed earlier, your experience with your Nexus 7, your experience with your Samsung Galaxy S4, your known update in December, the unanswered questions concerning the concerning the Nexus 5 project. But with the rumors that are coming out, it looks like it's going to be a good device. What do you think looks most appetizing to you in the personal space? I'm not talking about the workspace. I'm not talking about bring your own device to work, because I'm pretty sure we both agree that if the bring your own device to work advances in such a way in your space with what you do, they're going to give you a device to utilize. Okay, I'm pretty sure we can agree on that. But in the personal space, your device, doing with your device what you want it to do, keeping your device your own, utilizing the way you want to, of the devices we've discussed tonight, LG G2, Samsung Galaxy S4, Samsung Galaxy Note 3, Nexus 5, even with its variables that it has, what do you think at this point in time, even though the Nexus 5 has yet to be fully announced, what do you think looks best on your radar?
I think I'm going to have to go Nexus 5. I want a Kit Kat Chunky.
There you go. You know, I tell you what, I'm pretty sure that I've got a Kit Kat sitting in the kitchen, and I think I'm going to have to agree with you. If for nothing else, this display, if we scroll down a little bit further, it says edge-to-edge display, meaning it's going to have a minimum bezel, provides maximum user enjoyment for both work and play. That gives me the impression that it's going to have a work interface and a personal interface. Now, granted, we're talking personal usage here. We're not talking about bring your own device to work. We're talking personal. Now, we've kind of talked back and forth between bring your own device to work and the personal space, which I do enjoy. I appreciate you indulging me going back and forth, because, yes, I utilize my devices in the personal space and the university space. You utilize your device in the personal space, and you have a laptop for work that you have triple authentication. Mm-hmm. We also have universal compatibility. Global usage with KitKat. We have unlimited standby time. KitKat 4.4 will be ready to help you go from zero to break in a snap. Now, 4.4 in the Nexus space, you know, even though we don't have the surefire specs for Nexus 5, this breakdown in its own right has made Nexus 5, from a non-bloated software stance, exciting to me.
Yeah.
Mart,
it's a brilliant piece of marketing.
It is a beautiful, and I'm not even a marketing major. I'm not. I'm in mass media, radio, broadcast, and television, okay? But from a marketing perspective, 4.4 is brilliant, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Now, Mart, you're 5 hours ahead of me. It's getting to be pretty late here. I'm biting into your sleep time desperately. You and I have been on the phone over an hour, and I can do nothing but say thank you many, many, many times over for being my special guest on this episode of Trending Mobile Technology. This is episode 55. As we get ready to wind this down, Mart, do you have any plugs or shout-outs?
You've already plugged it in my goal. I'm going to have to just say, just for the Mountie, BlackBerry sucks.
Why do I have a feeling like it's going to wind up being the Mountie, Mr. Old School, and only one Mart coming to terms on Trending Mobile Technology someday? We'll have to see if we can't get that sorted out.
I think we should do a memorial show when BlackBerry finally dies. How's that?
A memorial show when BlackBerry finally dies. Wow, I can feel the fire stoking already.
Yeah.
Okay, so plugs and shout-outs for Eat My Goal over on blogtalkradio.com. Any final thoughts concerning anything that we've discussed tonight, Mart?
No, just that, yeah, I can't wait to see the Nexus 5 now.
I can't either.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. And it is, by the way, I do have it on pretty good authority. There isn't an official announcement yet, but I do have it on pretty good authority that the Nexus 5 will be announced 14 October. So if you're interested, stick tight right here to Trending Mobile Technology. I am very, almost positive that I'm going to do a full breakdown of the Nexus 5 when it actually gets here. Just for the simple fact, if for nothing else, 4.4 KitKat makes me want to go right now and take a break. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But, you know, nonetheless, you can find Trending Mobile Technology right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. You can always find great shows like Fight Show Live, great shows like Old School at the Movies, The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, right here, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me right here. This is episode 55, Trending Mobile Technology, with my special guest right here in from the UK, only one Mart. Make sure you stay tuned, folks. We got lots of great stuff coming in all the time. I am Piper the DJ of Trending Mobile Technology, where I take a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.